Father, we thank you for all the graces that we enjoy. Hallelujah. Thank you for grace to still be standing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace to be alive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace to be in your presence. You do not take all these graces for granted, because we know it is grace upon grace. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have our seat, please. Amen. Amen. We give God praise. Good evening, everyone. I hope we're all doing fine. I hope we're doing well. Trust our day was fine, productive. I was going to say, even if you slept throughout the day, hope the sleep was productive. Yeah, maybe your body needed rest. Hope you're able to get the necessary rest. Yeah. Thank God for today. Thank God for another Bible study. How many of us are expecting this evening? Okay. I want to believe those that maybe didn't raise their hands. I want to believe that God will give them an expectation today. So for those of you that already have expectations, pray your expectations will not be cut short. Amen. And if by chance you don't expect to be blessed, I pray that God would in his own way, he would touch your heart. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, when people come to Jesus, you know, people come. It's not everybody that come expecting to be blessed. So, but there's also a way Jesus can do. For example, a way that you might be in that position is when you don't prepare coming to the house of God. Like, you just come. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So a good culture is before you come to the house of God, like you're preparing. It's like you're going to a banquet and you're trying to check that are you in the right frame of the requirement of the banquet. As much as the banquet says, come all, and you come as you are, we shouldn't forget that there's an attitude to coming, you understand? So that we would, you know, have the blessings that God has brought for us. So I'm saying that even if you didn't, if you just found yourself in church, you know, and you didn't maybe really prepare to come to church, yeah, I pray that God would also bless your heart in the name of Jesus. So today, I think, maybe before we go ahead, I just want us to say hello to each other. Let's greet ourselves. Brother, you don't want to beat. Amen. It's like some people didn't want to greet, and when they now heard that I said they should greet, they're like, ah, okay, let's try greet. Maybe that's where the blessing is hiding. Amen. You know, greeting is part of the service, right? Yeah. So some of you had the opportunity to greet before now, but most people didn't. Do you get? You can't greet somebody that is kabashing, you know. You just walk past and you quickly set yourself on a seat and all of that. But I think greeting is part of the service as well. You know, saying hello to one another. Do we have anyone here for the first time? I mean, today is your first time in this auditorium. Anybody? Okay. No, I didn't say clap. I didn't say clap first. Who? Oh, this is your first time. Because God told me that there will be first timers today, so that's why I'm asking. There's a reason. Wait. What is it? Wow. Amen. So, do you mind standing up on your feet? If you're close to them, just I want us to pray for them, and we'll get back to the message. And I just want us to pray that God will, you know, bless them. You know, God will fulfill the. Where's Wally going to? There's someone already beside him now. It's not you. Oh my goodness! Like, I can't even explain that. It's not in the scripture. I don't know where to find that. So I want us to, if you're beside, like more, you know, if you're beside them, just stretch forth your hands to them, and let's pray for them that whatever has led them here, there is a trouble, will not leave here again. With them, you know, every burden in the heart, God would lift in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I want us to take this moment serious. That God will show up for them mightily. They wouldn't miss their steps anymore. As they have come into the presence of God, they will not find themselves outside anymore. The glory of God that they seek will dwell on them and will be infilling in them as well, in the name of Jesus. Can we also pray that we receive them into God's family? We receive them into the family of God where God's provision dwells. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. You may have your seats, please. I think anyone from follow up, please, after the service, let's just reach out to them and speak more with them. If you're probably in the service and you know, as you're coming to the service, you just had this burden that have a burden to be prayed for. That's just. I think the prayer is that the burden will be lifted, but you just had a burden to be prayed for. Do you have anybody? Okay. 2, 3, 4. No, don't raise it down. I mean, yeah, I want to see the hands. Okay, 5 people. So if you're beside them, Stella, just put your hand on Ostabi. Someone raised hand here. Yeah, my brother, you are the praying champion today. We are to your right again. Leonard, they always say that cameramen don't fall under the tree, but if you do yourself, are we close to them? Okay, yes. Teresi. You can stand up. You can stand up, please, so that you can be. Prayed for us. The church also prays for you. Why are you holding a hand? No. Talk now. Why are you holding a hand? You were holding a hand before. Like, you wanted to pray for her, right? No. Put your hand on her shoulder. That's, yes. Okay. Yeah. So let's, you know, that whatever prayers that they've had in their heart, that the burdens will be lifted tonight in the name of Jesus, no matter how long the burden has persisted or lingered, that God would remove the burdens in the name of Jesus. God will remove the burdens in the name of Jesus. Let burdens be lifted in the name of Jesus. And let the peace of God rest upon you. Let the peace of God rest upon you. In the name of Jesus. Let the peace of God rest upon you. Let the restlessness in the soul, let it cease. Let the restlessness in the soul, let it cease. Peace be still. Because the brethren say so. Because the church says so. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the grace of peace, let it rest upon you. In the name of Jesus. You will no longer have thoughts about those worries anymore. Because the burdens are lifted. And the Lord brings rest to your soul. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. You may have your seats, please. Thank you so much. Many a times you don't, you just obey. You don't know why God is asking you to do a thing. But you would always see the performance of his word. That's what we always look forward to. Hallelujah. So I charge everyone, you know, that's what you should look forward to. Don't ask why you were prayed for. You know, that's not the... we are not even asking. So it's not so useful if you're also asking. What you should look out for is the performance of what? His word. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this evening, we would continue the conversation we started on Sunday around common salvation and we trusting that God will make us one as he is one. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I want us to start first of all with that image that we used. Daniel, let's use that image. The second one. Let's start from there. Amen. Amen. I hope we are ready for the journey of tonight. I can hear yes. Yeah. Okay. Ah, there's the main one. Let's go. So we were looking at what I would call like a framework to bringing the kingdom of God to be established in our midst. And the prayer in Matthew that said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we said there are many activities that happen in heaven. You know, we looked at, or we said there's joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. And, you know, ever since that Sunday, I've been having this feeling that when we get to heaven, like, there are departments that I will be looking forward to seeing. You understand? And so, we tried to establish that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they bear record in heaven. So that's also another activity that happens in heaven. And the reason they're able to do that while they do that, they formed this oneness, or oneness is possible with that activity because they bear the same record, they bear the same testimony, they testify of the same thing. Then oneness is formed, we said among, right? Among them. Hallelujah. A lot of people struggle with the idea of Trinity, honestly. A lot. Even it's one of the confusion of every, for example, maybe Judaism, Islam. That's their bone of contention. Like, why would Jesus say he's God? They don't even struggle with the Holy Spirit because they don't understand that one. Like, which one is Holy? They don't struggle with the Holy Spirit. But for Jesus, And so we were looking at somewhat like a framework of how to manage our expectations around arriving at bringing the kingdom of God into our midst. Now, as much as we pray that the kingdom of God would come, everything that God does has his own order. So many months ago, you know, I was opportune to teach us structure and order. You understand? And one of the things I personally even learned from that series is God wouldn't do anything outside of order. Meaning, for example, if God says, I want to reach someone in front of me, then he would say, this is how I want to reach the person. So if God says, you should blow the shofar to speak to that person, if you blow trumpet, God will not speak. So God is that. God doesn't use, just use it like that. At least it's something. You understand what I'm saying? So God is the God of order. And when they say order, it means there are two things that are in there. There's ordination and there's how to be. Ordination is what it shall be. Order is how it should be, while it shall be what it should be. I don't know, maybe I. Let me. So they say, for you to grow in this manner or in this order, be this. Now, your ordination is that you will become what is at the end of that process. But the process itself is the order or the framework in which you should become that person. I don't know if that makes sense now. And so God doesn't do anything that if you go check the plan, it wouldn't look like God just had to do another plan B because God just had to use what was on ground. You understand what I'm saying? Like, even when he would raise stones to praise him, you go and find out that in his original plan, stones were meant to praise him. Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. So it won't look as though, like, God was helpless and he just had to use a donkey. Like, literally, if you go check the book of, like, it was a donkey that he wanted to use to speak at that time. And that would be interesting when those that had access to the book of life were looking at a donkey would also, but when they see it come to reality, they say, ah, truly, it was a donkey that was deserving of that, what, of that process. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when we say your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's not just so much about we pray the kingdom of God down. There are things we need to look out for scripturally that would help us achieve that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we said that there are three things that, you know, as a people of God, we should always look out for in our midst, particularly because there's something that brings us together, is the blood of Jesus. Like, the blood of Jesus has brought every one of us from everywhere we were, and he brought us together. You know, we now say, oh, this is my brother, this is my sister. But that blood didn't just bring us together for just that sake. It wants to establish the kingdom of God in our midst. Hallelujah. And so we said for the kingdom of God to be established in our midst, we will then look out for growing in God's presence, God's light, and God's love. Amen. And we say that if we're growing in these three dimensions, we would produce glory, we would produce understanding, we would produce power, we would produce what? Unity. Hallelujah. Amen. It means we wouldn't struggle to establish the kingdom of God. Because a kingdom ought to be established. Do you understand what I'm saying? A kingdom ought to be established. And so we said from common salvation, which speaks of our fellowship, like when we gather together, we are seeing ourselves from fellowshipping with one another, as it was recorded in 1 John 1:7, that our fellowship is with one another. Do you understand? And that fellowship is what we call our common salvation. You know, when Jude was writing his epistle, he said, that beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. And I think I mentioned something on Sunday that this also what speaks to fellowship. Like when we say we are going to fellowship, it's that we are trying to live out common salvation. We're trying to live out something that brings every one of us together. But not just so much about what brings us together. What is also what everybody can access. Accessibility is very key. If it brings us together, imagine if you know somebody has an event and every one of us comes together, but you don't have access to food. You understand? Now, that's not what we do in fellowship. So fellowship is, it brings us together by the blood. And I think that's one thing I didn't say on Sunday. There's a whole lot of understanding in what brings us together. What brings us together, what binds us. But when we come together, we're trusting God that we'll be able to give ourselves that room where we can see common activities. And when I said common, I said common is not that it's cheap. Do you understand? It's that it is not exclusive. It's not just for some group of people and every other person, maybe they are just in the outer court. They don't know what's happening. You know, imagine if we had a procession like that where maybe half of this auditorium was veiled and you are at the back. You know, everybody that's coming out of that video will be strongening their face as though something is happening. That's exclusivity, you know, where you can't even just imagine it. Or maybe the best you can do is maybe if they appoint you as well, then you two, you become you just get your pride as you are entering. Like take your pride and then you have the paraphernalia that comes with that kind of exclusivity. Amen. Amen. But so these are our common salvation. It's what every, you know, just like the first time as I came here now, if their heart opens up, it will be as though they've been here for years. The kind of blessedness that will come to them. So that's why they call it common salvation. Now, it's the blood that brought them. But what will keep them is our common salvation. It's our fellowship that will keep them in the thing that God wants them to be kept in. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, please go back to that diagram. And so we said our common salvation is very key. And for us to move from common salvation to kingdom. Because common salvation does not necessarily translate to kingdom. So that a people, and trust me, the word itself, fellowship, is a general word. A lot of people fellowship. The reason why cultists are cultists is because they fellowship. They do a lot in common. You know, groups, you know, clubs. Like, the reason why people look for that sense of belonging is I just want to be a part of a people that I can say these are my guys or these are my people. Like, if I just pick my phone, I call this one, hey, Alpha, can you help me with this? The guy can help you because you are part of the fellowship that they belong to. So the idea of fellowship in itself doesn't just translate to kingdom, particularly the kingdom of God. You understand? There are things that there's a way we need to arrange ourselves that would then now make it the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is not what we call it. It's what it will manifest itself to be. So it's not that we say, there's kingdom of God in this place. Or no. People will say that there's the kingdom of God here. So it's the way we've arranged ourselves that people will now put that tag. Now, our effort and our trust and our prayers is that God's kingdom, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. But like I said, if we don't do what makes kingdom come, then we'll stay at common salvation. We'll share a lot in common. We'll just love ourselves and it stops at this roof. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that its fellowship does not necessarily translate it to what? To kingdom. No. But fellowship gives us that opportunity to now ask God, how should we arrange ourselves that would then now make this structure or this arrangement a place where you can put your stamp and say, this is your kingdom on earth. Like, this is my kingdom in Ojodu. This is my kingdom in this place. And so we said, when we practice, and that's where we're going to today, you know, we're trusting God today that we'll be able to understand, you know, being practitioners of these things. Because it's as God helps us to practice these things, then we find out that the kingdom of God is truly in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So there was a question that I wanted to answer last on Sunday, which is, you know, at times we could ask, I think you can take this away now. Thank you. At times we could ask, you know, how can, or has God done this before? Like, you know, because there's really no new thing. Amen. Amen. And someone might be asking, I mean, if God has ever done this before, where he was able to see the coming together of a people and then he established kingdom in their midst. So let's go to Acts. Let's go to the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4. Yeah, from verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his. But they what? They had all things in common. Now, let's just stay here. This verse alone explains the whole message. Like, it talks about what God was able to achieve in their heart. Now, this multitude is not hundreds. These were thousands. And Bible recorded here that they were of one heart and one soul. Then it said, neither did any one of them say that any of the things he possessed was his own. Like, I hope we understand what that means. Like, in literal form, your car is not your car. That kind of a thing. Your shirt is not your shirt. Your shoe is not your shoe. That thing you call personal effect is effect. There's no personal there. There's only effect in me. It's not personal again. My personal space. Some pronouns were killed. Like, they went into extinction. Like, literally, imagine being in their midst. You'll be afraid to use some pronouns or some whatever description of my. I went to my house. You know, you'll be so like, sorry. I didn't mean like that too. You know, it's our house. You know, so where it says nobody said that anything that he had was his own. Now, I think the first thing I want us to know is this. Numbers would, you know, at times when we're loving on each other, right? And the reason why we cringe when another 5 new people just come is because we feel like we don't have the power to love the new 5. Like, I didn't love her for like 15 years. Now, if it's truly kingdom, multitude can't aspire it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it's truly... Now, don't forget, it started with 120 at the what? Upper room. Yeah, that 120 would probably have been a small number. Do you understand? They would see themselves. They know, this one knew that this was the tongue this one was speaking when the cone of fire rested upon him. And they said, this is how this one was rolling on the floor. You understand? But immediately they preached, and 3,000 was added to the church. Like, I may never see somebody again.
Do you understand? Like, I may not see somebody again. Like, as we they go. Like, I just hope you did. But Bible recorded here that 3,000 joined the 120. Didn't now make it look like, oh, we wish it was 120. They could have remained one heart and one soul. But he said that the multitude. And now, when the 3,000 joined the church, they didn't go. Like, they didn't go back to wherever they came from. And he now recorded of that group of people that they were of one heart and of one soul. Now, this was not a miracle. Or let me say, this was not what God just did once. Like, maybe as they joined the church, then God just anointed them. This wasn't something that just happened with one event. The reason they came to this was also mentioned. We'll go into all the scriptures and we'll read, but I just wanted you to follow me this evening. They went through a journey of daily fellowship, paying attention to doctrine and breaking of bread. Now, as they were doing that, they were practicing his presence. They were, searching the scriptures by which they were receiving perspective. Now that you see that you don't possess your thing is another understanding. Yeah. It's strange. It's not a natural understanding. And then they had so much love in their midst. Because I think the next verse would say that nobody lacked anything. Okay, let's read on. 32, 33. And with great power gave the apostle witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. 34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Now, there's a kind of love that is discerning in terms of it can quickly spot the person that has not been loved much, and then we can love the person much. Like, let me explain. There's a way we can love ourselves that the one that is not receiving that love in the level that he ought to receive will quickly know. Whether it's that the person is withdrawing himself or the person somehow is not rightly fitted, it will be obvious that this one needs love. And then we'll be able to love on that person. So he says, yeah. So it wasn't that they were not sure. Now, this is a multitude we're talking about. He says in that multitude, nobody lacked. Now, whether God baptized them with contentment, we don't know. Yeah, like he says, nobody lacked. How many of you have gone for conventions before? And you fetch water, you put it in front of the church, and somebody carries it. Then the prayer meeting before the meeting is for us to deal with offense. you remember, those meetings now? Yeah. Say, brethren, we need to pray against offense in this meeting. We know we have been offending ourselves. Yeah. Because in those meetings, offense are bound. Like, someone will chance you where you want to collect food. The person serving you food, they'll give you small meat. Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think there's a convention I've gone for or conference that they will not pray that. Maybe not Jesus, but there are many conferences I've gone for. Like, offense is one prayer point. We'll pray there that will not be robbed because of offenses. Because they know we don't have one heart and one soul. Yeah, if there's one heart and there's one soul, we will not pray offense. Because nobody would lack anything. And this wasn't even confession for them that, we're praying that we will not lack. And like I said, whether God baptized them with contentment or there was just provision, regardless of your need, whether it's be an ambitious need or it was just a normal one. It says, for all who were possessors. So meaning there were some people who had things before they came together. There were some people that had their names to their properties. It says, for all who were possessors of land or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Now, the reason why this is possible, go back to 33. And great grace was upon them all. Now, see, there are things, don't do some things if you don't have grace. Yeah. If you say, we have to make this fellowship thing work, we are then Lota Motomi. You most likely, if the grace is not there, you most likely might just feel bad. Now, a while ago, Papi had mentioned that when we know we are not some in a place, when we know we are not in a place, this is what we should pray for, that the grace to be there. You know, it's not like you feel bad that you're not there, but you pray that, you know, God will give us the grace to graduate from wherever we are to the next level. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the reason they were able to, those that had. Now, if it was that you didn't have before, you might say that the reason why this one is, it was easy for him is the only thing he had was a shirt. I had land. I had houses. But every one of them, the reason why they didn't have possession anymore was because great grace was given to everyone. Now, grace is the product of his presence. See, when God is in a place, you know you can do the things you wouldn't have done. Now, I'm not saying irrational things. Like, you didn't think. You know, there are some things you do spontaneously. You just do, and afterwards you regret doing it. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying things that God gives you power to do. Because when it comes, then it ministers grace to your heart. Then the things you're not able to do, you just feel empowered that you're able to do. Now, the reason why people who live in sin would feel that they don't have the power to stop sinning, is because the grace to stop sinning, they've not received it. Because when they receive the grace to stop sinning, they now have the power to stop sinning. So grace is the ability God gives to you to be able to do what you are not able to naturally do. So everything that they were displaying there was unnatural. So let's go back to verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Let's go to 35. Let's read on. Let's go to 35. And laid them at the apostles' feet. That's after they had sold the houses and the land. And they brought it to the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. So you can see the way the God put government, you know, even in terms of the resources, right? In terms of resource allocation. Do you understand? And that's why administration is powerful. Do you understand? Administration is powerful. Because these apostles, they are not looking for you to come and drop this at their feet. They are focused on prayer and the word. They are not like, okay, where are the people that are bringing these things? No. Like, they are only focused on prayer and word. And the distribution would be possible by the structure of administration. That for them to identify anyone would add need, it means there are some people that their work is to use the love in their heart to find the person that has need. Now, you might think need is, I have a need. At this level, they were of one heart. Like, I know what's up with you. Like, I know that as you came to church, you never chop. So, when they now come to this point, they know who to go and give. They won't go and give the person that had eaten. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the power of God also rested on that administrative engagement. They were able to give the right people, you know, when they say meeting, and this is what only God does, when he says he's meeting everybody at the point of their need. That's only what God does. And so the revival that was in their midst was God had cemented love in their heart. The heart was one. Unity was tangible. They can easily just say, guy, I think this guy needs something. And they are not confused whether what you need is spiritual nourishment or natural. They know the one that is, this one needs a session with Uncle Stephen. Just go and do some Bibles. So it won't be like you are eating and you are thinking you've gained one. You know, they didn't. In that economy, it is like. So there are two things as a people of God that we must master. One is receiving God's blessing. The second one is appropriating God's blessing. You know, for like about 4 years, you know, I figured out that was one thing the Holy Spirit wanted me to learn. Because as a people of God, if you don't trust God for the grace to appropriate, you would know how to receive, but you would misuse everything that is allocated to you. You would abuse it. You would channel it in the wrong places. You would flex your muscle where you should not flex your muscle. Yeah, that's where the grace to appropriate comes from. So there was a whole lot of grace to appropriate here. They didn't just misdirect the activities that were happening here. When people sold their land, when people sold their houses, and they brought it to the apostles' feet. Now, let me help us. The apostles' feet is a heart of submission. It's not, first of all, leg. Like, you're looking for someone's leg. I just wanted to help somebody there. If you want my leg, I'll remove my leg. So, you know, there were multitude, right? The attitude that was required was that submission. That what you are now bringing is not yours. You are seeing it as what your brother would also share from. And you also have enough grace and sense to not wait back to see what they will do with it. So that, like, you just see, the thing is, when there's one heart and one soul, you will not look back like, you know. Yeah. Because it didn't say they laid them at the apostles' feet, and while they were going, they looked back and found out that they've distributed to each as anyone has need. Can you say, I receive grace?
I receive grace.
Let's go to 36. Let's read on. We're still going to chapter 2. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Now, you might be thinking nobody really sold their land. They were just, like, they had to mention one person. for record purposes. He said he has land, then he sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, they sold their possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, why I came here is all those things that were happening in their midst, it was because of the glory of God that was operating in their midst. And that's why Peter said, you didn't offend me. It's the presence of God you offended. It means their daily breaking of bread, you know, fellowshipping with the doctrines gave them glory, because that engagement was an opportunity for God to be in their midst. Don't worry, we would understand when we go to how Moses was able to build the temple, then I will connect it to Peter, how God desires that we be lively stones. And what that lively stone will do is to form an habitation for God. So when they were fellowshipping, their lively stones was coming together and God was able to dwell in their midst. So if they didn't arrange themselves by fellowshipping, you know, one come with psalms, one come with hymns, one come with a song, when they come together, they look into the apostles' doctrines, they break bread, they share fellowship. If they were not doing all of that, even if Ananias does what he did, there's no God to offend. So, and that's why if you do any harm against a people of God, that they've done all that they need to do in fulfilling the obedience to bring God into their midst, is God, you've enlisted yourself as an enemy of God. So that's what he meant, that, you know, when somebody now then brings offense to this, your community, don't worry. It's God that will deal with them. Like, you guys would wish it was a millstone they tied to his neck. He says, you have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these things, or these words, he fell down and he breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. But this is not even where I want us to focus on. Let's go back to chapter 4 from verse 32. Amen. You know, our desire tonight is, like I said, is that we're able to become practitioners of God's presence. We know how to attract him. We know how to attract him. And how to attract him is not in our wisdom. It's actually how God tells us that this is how I come. You know, when God says, I inhabit in the praises of my people. Like, literally, that's like your short code. So it means when you guys dwell in praises, it will be there. That's when he says you just shall live by faith. It means you will be alive if you are in faith. You understand? So God God is not like this. Like, you look, Ojelano, Ojeleni. Yeah, God is not Naija bet or Naira bet, or I don't know which one it is. Or God is not Kalu Kalu. Yeah, it looks, that's why I said there's no variance in him. Like, he's very, 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 very consistent. So they all were of one heart and one soul. Now, friends, this is possible. Because even God needs to help every one of us in this room. Amen. That we can all be of one heart and one soul. Amen. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Then from there, I think from there we'll be able to go to, I think, Exodus. Let's read somewhere again. Let's start from verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, that's after Peter had preached, they were caught to their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, this is the attitude of anybody that will receive anything from God. Now, when God comes to you, particularly when he comes with a demand, you don't assume you know how to fix it. We can always, like, when he says they were, is it same people that became one heart and one soul that were asking this then? That when they were newly just coming, you know, they said, "Oh, this is the culture of the house. This is the culture." Okay, okay, okay. What shall we do? Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly. So this was the activity that now culminated into being of one heart and one soul. It says they continued steadfast. Now, before they could continue, there was the blood that brought, that added them. You know, like I said, it's the blood of Jesus that brought every one of us from wherever we were, and we now have a place where we are joined to. It said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, any church or any people that will form or that would bring down the kingdom of God would have to practice this. So you see that we'll be deceiving ourselves if we're not praying. Like, literally, like, I can whine our hour. Like, we're just whining ourselves. In the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in apostles' doctrine. Let's go on. Then fear came upon every soul. You can see the way God was working on the soul that finally became one heart and one soul. So it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't instantaneously, like, "Oh yeah, receive one heart, receive one soul." I say, "Amen, amen." No. Go to 42. He says, they continued. Now when he says they continued steadfastly, I don't know, maybe it was 1 week, 1 year, 3 years, 4 years. But this wasn't a very light thing. This was an intensive activity. It says they continued steadfastly. Probably was like back to back. I don't know if there was a rendition that mentioned daily. Or maybe it's not here. Okay, it was in 46. Ah, thank you. God bless you. Okay, let's go to 46. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Now, I want us to take our eyes away from the one that brings us here. Now, the one that brings us here is very, very, very important. That's looking through the apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, and what again? Breaking of bread. We're doing that together, right? But it now also says that when we are continuing daily with one accord in the temple, we would also ensure that we are continuing steadfastly in our houses. House to house. Thank you. Glory home. Glory home to glory home. But it's actually house to house. Because even our glory home is mini church. Like it's like church in the home. Do you get? So even if you're part of a, you should, yeah. Part of being part of a glory home does not, you don't quickly raise your house number. Like, Olong Sheo, they don't know my house number. Do you get? No, no, no. Then you now make that brethren's house the meeting point. Let's meet at our glory home. No. It's actually your own house. They ate their food. How many of you have served your last meat for a visitor before? Nobody. Okay, relax. I remember the day I served my... I was to lead a prayer meeting in school then, and I knew I was going to come back very late. I was staying in one hostel. I think I was even squatting. I was a legal squatter. So I was in a place where I can move freely. Even though it wasn't my other friend that owned the space was an architect. So he was studying architecture in school. So they don't usually come to the room. They sleep in their studio. So I became a bona fide owner of... But when they call potters are coming, those people are like the visitation of the devil. Everybody's scampering for safety. God help you, you've slept off. They can wake you up and you might not have where to sleep that night. And so that Tuesday night, I was praying for the prayer meeting. And then I said, okay, let me prepare what I will eat now and what I will eat when I come back. So I prepared Indomie in 2 plates. So as I was just packing the plates, you know what would happen next? You know, someone just came into the room. I said, "Now my own be that, Abi." I said, "Yes." Because after that Indomie, I wasn't sure I had something else to eat. So, because it was 1-on-1 we're doing also. I don't know. Some people don't know 1-on-1. Don't pray to know 1-on-1. Don't pray. Do you get? You know. Then, yeah. Then let's. God has dealt with that. You know. Then I was always going to divide my inflow by bread and meat. Like bread and meat was my converting unit cost. Like to make this money make sense, divide it by bread and beans. So how many bread and beans can come out of this 10K? So when you say it's 10, okay. What makes sense? What makes sense? You know, it's 15 naira bread, 15 naira beans. So with pure water. Yeah, I'm good to go. So all the people that were always queuing at where they were eating jollof rice, even chicken and chips was, they can use chicken and chips to carry somebody for ritual. That's how luxury it was. It's like they took you to Marriott, chicken and chips that you eat now and like you don't even feel like eating self. And so the guy came in and said, "Is that my Indomie?" I said, "Yes, it's yours." And that was what heaven said, hey, yeah. And I had to give him water also. Now that was my last meal. But it was done with gladness. I wasn't glad about it. was like, ah, Eshulele, it's devil that sent you. Ah, who comes to collect the last meal? It's devil. But it says here, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. See, friends, like I said, it's a journey to one heart and one soul. We have to master practicing his presence in the temple and outside of the temple. We have to master, you know, looking through his word, particularly sharing biblical perspective for life. So, for example, if I visit, and I'm going into practical terms, right? If I visit someone and you're going through an issue, like I shouldn't have the pressure to resort to another idea that is not from the scripture. No matter how tempted I might be, you know, I should just look at the issue and then there's no scriptural basis for what I'm saying. Or it's not scriptural, or it's not godly. And so he's saying that even as we're in the temple, I mean, in the temple, you might say you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice to fellowship with the apostles' doctrine. You don't have a choice to look for the presence of God. You don't have a choice but to stay in love. But outside of the temple, we would continue steadfastly in the same order. That is what would arrive at one heart and one soul. And what I would also give to us is we would have great grace amongst us. We'll be able to do the things that are uncommon. Yes. See, friends, let's first of all agree that what will get us to the kingdom of God will be unnatural things. Yes. If we don't agree, we will not get the kingdom. Like I said, fellowship is fellowship. But a fellowship that would arrive at the kingdom of God being established in that place, it has to be done the way God has done it. See, this is the way God did people that he brought together by his blood, and afterwards, the kingdom was established in their midst. So it's not far-fetched. We're not looking for what's lost. It's not lost. It's here. I think we stopped at verse. No, we jumped to 46, but before 46. 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. Now, the reward of what they had gone through was amazing. It says, everybody had favor with everybody. Everybody had favor with everybody. Nobody was lacking favor. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So after 3,000 joined 120, there was daily addition. I'm sure by the time they were really multitude when they got to chapter 4. So it wasn't 3,000. So imagine addition daily. How many days would you, like literally every day they met, there was a first timer. And so you can't, the person you saw last week, you most likely will be seeing somebody else. And the thing that can then keep one heart and one soul as God was adding to them is not so much about what they can do for themselves. It's what was in their midst. Hallelujah. I want us to go to where God told Moses about building the ark. Okay, 25. Okay. I need to be sure that's where I want us to start from. I think where I want us to start from is where God mentioned that he wanted them to do that so that his presence can dwell in their midst. Sorry? Sorry, we're speaking. 40. Did you say 40? 25, 40. No. Sorry? 25:8. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. So let's start from 8 then. But let's just start from verse 1. Yeah, it's the word of God, right? Yes, sir. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with their heart, you shall take my offering." You can see here that what will be common is what is coming from the heart God has won. You understand? Like even God would not desire a people that are giving to themselves and they are not won. So you're not helping a brother out of pity or out of a place of privilege. "From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze." Like, God is very particular. I think this book and Leviticus showed even the precision of God, even in terms of like measurements. And so God knows how to. He has his ways. Let me put it that way. "And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine lining, goat hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins." Like, imagine being in the presence of God and this is what God is telling you. Like, yeah. Some of us can't even imagine that. So long, even walking in. God, give us eye level. I need a clean sacrifice. You know, that kind of. No, but he said, "No, I want a ram skin dyed red. Badger skin." I think that badger is another animal, right? "An acacia wood." Not mahogany. Not iroko. Acacia wood. "Oils for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now, if they don't get all that he mentioned, it won't be a sanctuary that he would dwell in. Let's move on. according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. See, when somebody gives you a job and they've already given you all the specifications, be very afraid of what it will do if you don't get the result. Yeah. When they tell you, take your initiative, that one is better. Like, you can exceed the expectation. But when they say that, do it, don't even exceed the expectation. Do the expectation. Because you might not gonna get both a badger and a wolf skin. Because you want to exceed. And that's why, you know, some people might ask, you know, why do we follow as God shows us and not taking initiative in the house of God? Let me quickly. It's because of we may not arrive where God wants us to arrive. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside out. You shall overlay it and shall make on it a molding of gold. And so this went on, and all God was giving Moses the precise instruction. Now, what were they going to achieve? Presence. Now, before then, God would come on mountains, and they even said historically, like, those mountains are still, they still reveal that something that had fire, blah, blah, was like when you burn something on a stone, you know, you still see that they made firewood here, something like that. You know, those things, they said on those mountains, it's still, like Mount Sinai, it's still evident there that something came on top this mountain. Like, if you go there now, like, go and look for Mount Sinai, you still see, I've not gone there before, so. Yeah, but the people that have gone there, they said, it's still there. Do you get? And so that was the way God was coming down. You know, he would tell them that he told them to come out of Egypt so that they can worship him on the mount, right? And whenever he visited Moses, it was on Mount Sinai. Like, he would come down, do all the whole thing. But after a while, God told Moses that he really wanted to dwell in their midst. Meaning, it wasn't going to be an occasional thing anymore. Where maybe God, for any reason, he would come down, tell Moses stuff, go back again. But he wanted to be where they were. Like, if they were sleeping, he wanted to be in their midst. If they were moving from one location to another location, he wanted to be in their midst. And he gave them this specification to hold, let me use that word, or to trap the presence of God. And say that, okay, with this way we've arranged ourselves, God can come here and can stay in our midst. Now, if the children of God did it another way, they wouldn't have achieved that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, God is not giving us this type of instruction now. Now, the instruction that God is giving us is now in Peter. Let's go there. Let's start from verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted the Lord, that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul." Let's go back to verse 5. So it says that as living stones that are being built up as a spiritual what? House. Now, in the days of Moses, it was all those different things. Badger skin, acacia wood, that was going to come together to be a spiritual house. But now, it says how to build a house for God now is if we are living stones. I mean, like stones that are alive. We will be useful in building a spiritual house that God can dwell in. Now, how we would become living stones is when we practice his presence, we practice, we practice his light, which means we are looking into the scriptures, right? We are gaining what? Doctrine. We are gaining strong doctrine. We are gaining perspective for life. And when we also, what? We practice God's love. Now, that way, we would be able to become one house that has one heart and one soul. Amen. Amen. So without us being lively stones, can you switch this up in KJV, please? Ye also, as lively stones, are being built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Can you switch this up also in Amplified? Let's see how Amplified rendered this. You believers, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated what? Priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And I'm beginning to tie it up. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his, but they had all things in common. Can you switch it up to Act 2, I think verse 42. No, sorry, 46. So continue daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I'm trying to read all the scriptures that I'm using to help us understand that we ought to be practitioners. If we don't practice becoming an habitation for God, you know, people of the word, people of love, then we wouldn't see the kingdom of God in our midst. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm just going through my notes and trying to ensure that I've touched most of what I intended to. You know, Father, tonight we're praying that you would help us and you would grant us the enabling grace to really be practitioners. Amen. You know, people who can practice God's presence. Father, we pray this night that you would endow us with grace, so much grace. Amen. So much grace this evening that we wouldn't find it impossible to arrive at your kingdom being established on earth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, let me just quickly say this. If we don't work towards achieving the kingdom of God being established in our midst, how many of us still remember the topic on nation building? I think that's what, that Papi taught. You know, one of the things I want to bring out from that experience is if we don't achieve the kingdom of God in our midst, something else will be established in our midst. Now, you know, imagine we being here as a garden. You know, someone said, everybody wants to plant that garden. Like, God wants to plant on the garden. Even the enemy wants to plant on the garden. And that's why I said, when men slept. Like, everybody is entitled to that garden. It's just a matter of, what are we doing that is giving anyone the permission to sow in that garden? And so if we are not investing in ensuring that we turn out to establish the kingdom of God in our midst, in practical form, I'm not saying, Father, let your kingdom come. We have to practice it. If we don't practice it, we will not see it. And if we don't practice it, something else will be established. Because it's just like chemistry. You know, if they say to get this chemical, right? You mix this one and you get this. Now, do you know that if you mix, let's say maybe there are three components. If you mix it, they say if you mix the three, you will get what you're looking for. Do you know that if you mix the two, it's also a substance? Yeah. Do you know if you mix two with another thing, like you don't take the third one, or you leave out the third one. It's also, it will form something. I don't know what name it will. They will just give it kankane. They will give it a name, right? That's why they got benzene and not methane, you know. When they mix the three with something they should not mix, they will get something else. Now, the kingdom of God will not strive. So when you mix, let's imagine if the kingdom of God is just three components. And you now mix joy, peace, and what? Righteousness. Then you now mix envy. What we say, that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy with small envy. No. It will not be the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? So the caution that we should have is that if we are not striving to establish the kingdom of God in the temple and without. Don't forget, it's not just in the temple. We'll go house to house. When I visit my brother, I know I'm making every effort to establish the kingdom. And that's I know that if I'm going to visit anybody, I'm carrying the presence of God there. I'm meeting the presence of God there. You know, I'm getting there. The light of God is in our midst. You know, we have perspective. There's trouble. We can trust God for solution. We can trust God for a perspective that God will drop into our hearts and we'll be able to solve that problem. And there's love. I mean, like this, tangible love. And so if we are not laboring, you know, it says continue steadfastly. That's labor. It's not a casual effort. It's not even a prayer point. Let's imagine they even forgot it as a prayer point. They rather labored in other prayers that would ensure that they are able to bring down what? The kingdom of God into their midst. And what God did for them, what we saw is that they were of one heart and of what? Of one soul. But what God was doing was that there was great grace in their midst. And anything that goes against the order of God in their midst, it wasn't them that you were fighting. Yeah. It was God. Wow. So it's not about we just praying that God deal with unreasonable and wicked men. No. We would pray that, but we would also ensure that God is where, it's not like God is outside there. Then we're not praying, you know, like Baba Debo said many years ago. I think he called out some people to give their life to Christ. Then I think maybe they raised a song, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered." He said, "I don't sing it yet, oh. You are still an enemy of God, though." Yeah. So you have to be careful when you are saying, "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies." Where is God? Is he with us? Or is somewhere else? And we are part of his, of the enemy. So if we are not laboring to establish the kingdom of God, then something else will be established in our midst. Something else will be established in our midst. Many things can be established in our midst. Ambition can be established in our midst. Like, people will be choking. And so we wouldn't give the enemy room, right? Yes, because every time we come together, we're going to be trusting God that God would make himself manifest. Like you would never desire to go to church and expecting that God will not be present. The reason why you are coming is because we've mastered the act of when we gather, he comes. Amen. And that's what he told them. He said, let them bring all those ingredients together. Afterwards, he will dwell in their midst. And that's what David understood. That when they say Ichabod, is that they've carried the ark. The glory has departed. Now, glory is the result of presence, like I said last Sunday. So, what represented the presence of God in their midst was, and you know, when the ark was not in their midst, they would lose the battle. But when the ark was in their midst, they would win the battle. So, that they will be feared by other nations, that other nations will see them and see the glory of God, is because there is glory in their midst because of the presence of God. It says, then she named the child Ichabod, saying the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God had been what? Captured. And because of her husband, her father-in-law, and her husband. You know, this is also where we understood the word Shekinah. The reason why it's Shekinah glory is his presence. So as a people, when we gather, we are so well-formed. We have the right pipes. You know, that's what they vested inside Lucifer. Like, the right instrument. Like, we can just imagine maybe when any of the choir members are trying to sing. You know, they have key. You know, some of us don't have key. Forget key. Some of us sing. We sing songs. But they use key. You know, I've seen, there was a time I think someone stopped, said, no, give me my key. I said, this song that we're already enjoying, you are still looking for key. You understand? It's because some of us don't understand keys. We will still connect. We don't know where we're connecting to each other, but we'll connect somehow. But for that person singing, what will bring out their, I don't know what you guys call it. What makes you sing? Rhoda, what makes you sing? Like when you want what? Okay, let me ask Ty. Ty, what gets you there? Like when you say, "I'm now singing," what's that? So your expression, right? So for her, our presence is our expression. Like what makes Ty is here singing now is that she needs a key to get her expression out. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just using that analogy. So if God also says that this is the way we should arrange ourselves, that would make his presence come, then we have to learn how to do that very well. Like, it's so funny. For example, if God says, like when he told them that the only thing that will bring down Jericho is you guys should shout. Now, it will be untoward if you are rhyming. Like, mule pai. Like, if I'm beside you, you know. I can just be like this. I'll say it's a mistake. Yeah. Because at that point, they say we should shout. And that's why you don't joke. When the man of God says, "Can we give a shout to the Lord?" You might not really know why. Just do. It may be that's how someone's trouble will drop. And so how that's what instructions, that's how we live. You get, we don't just flow. Like, let's just flow, you know. Let's just flow. No, we live by instructions. Like, oh God, how would you want us to do this? Because we know if we do it that way, we will not have another outcome. Yeah. It will most likely turn out the way. So we would be mastering. So if God says, for me to always appear, you guys should just start with, ooh, ooh. Now, if we practice that very well, yeah, that's being a practitioner of God's presence. So being a practitioner of God's presence is that you are doing the things that you are learning to do the things that bring him down better. Yeah. So if he says, let's maybe just give an example. Maybe what brings him into our midst is when we genuinely love each other. Then it means if I'm struggling to love someone, I quickly deal with it. Like I don't allow it flow. Like, I'm on a flow. Whether we flow or not, we would see. We would truly find out that when we're doing that, God would be having his way in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this evening, I really, really want us to know that God desires that we be practitioners. Practitioners of God's presence. You know, when we visit ourselves, we should know that I'm a carrier of God's presence. I mean, regardless of how casual the visit is. It's not like maybe I dress up and then you now see that because I've dressed up, then I have a serious assignment. Like our fellowship, one with another, is enough to establish the kingdom in our midst. And it's like, this is here. How do we get here? And that's what we've looked at. Understanding that when we meet, you must ensure you don't leave a brother without the manifest presence of God being in that place. Honestly, like do all you can to ensure that, am I bringing presence here? And that's why you would always be gracious in your speech. Because you know you're carrying presence. You won't be offensive. I mean, you won't get to someone's place and presence was there before then. Your presence now chased away the presence of God. Yeah, you won't be. You know, one of the things, and you know, for everybody, you can literally tell somebody to wait outside. If the person is not in your presence, the person is frowning. Like, you know that this one will chase out what you are practicing. Then you can tell the person that just wait outside. When you are ready, you can come in. You know, there was something Kenneth Hagin wrote in Welcome to God's Family, if I'm correct. And I think they visited a couple. And when they entered the house, they knew they'd be fighting. Like, that's the presence in that house. And so that somebody is coming with a frowning face is bringing another presence. If you are too casual, you will chase out your own that you are practicing or that you are learning to practice. And so when we visit ourselves, because the message is also there. It's not just in the temple. Because you also have to look forward to when will I visit this person. Because the kingdom or the nation building is not these four walls. It's also how God brings our ability to care for one another outside of this place. And like I said, it will be multitude. And so God has to expand our bowels. Like you will love up, you will love, 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 love. You will pray for more love. You will love, you will love, you will love until you've become one heart. Yeah, we may still be struggling to love everybody now. Yeah, yeah. But if we arrange ourselves rightly, we won't know how we got to one heart. Yeah, some people did it. They continued daily. Abi? Yeah. Some people did it. At least if thank God, God gave us this for an example. And it wasn't just left at just understanding it from maybe the Old Testament or maybe some of the parables of Jesus. And so we look forward to God working this in our midst. Every day when we come together here, we're looking for his presence. We're looking for his light. We're looking for that when we are done at that meeting, his love would more be shared abroad in our hearts. We would leave, you know, it's like it will fill us up. And you know you have more love, you have more light, you have more presence. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this evening, you know, the Lord just whispered to my ears that, you know, you can have a successful marriage this way. Knowing that in that marriage, you need presence. In that marriage, you need God's perspective for everything. Like, it's not going to... You know, imagine when husband and wife say, I don't own anything. You know now, husbands are still struggling to... current account here, manager. My own to his current account, you know. Yeah, there's a lot we still try to manage. But there's a place where they say two have become what? One. Even though it's not everywhere yet. You know, two shall really become what? One. And the way to also work that in your marriage is trusting God that you carry presence. You are not putting the expectation of presence on your... You carry presence. You carry presence. You carry the light of God. You carry the perspective of God over every decision you're making. And you carry love in your heart. Carry love in your heart. That way you will find out that your wife will not lack anything. You too, you will not lack anything. Before you know it, your marriage is God's kingdom. So it's like God giving us the practical steps to establishing kingdom. If you want to establish kingdom of God anywhere, get his presence there. Get his light there. Get people to love themselves and to love God. You know, that's the greatest commandment. He says, you will love thy God or thy Lord thy God with all the strength in your heart and with your might. And he says, you shall love what? Your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest commandments. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.